I know Zeke said to Carol, Carol was trying to get my attention, I mean, the baby was trying to get my attention. She wasn't much older than this child. She's about 2 years old. And she wasn't, she's a ham. She wants to sing and, you know, perform for everybody. She did when she's little. And we were all sitting around talking, and Zeke says, Carol, do you ever spank that child? She says, no, but I don't mind Grandma spanking her. I said, just a minute. Grandma's not going to spank her. Now, if I had full custody of her, fine. But she's just here a little while in the summer with me. Old mean Grandma ain't about to spank her. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea, Carol was going to put it off on me. I could spank her if I wanted to. I said, no, I don't want to. And I never hit her a lick and don't intend to. But Carol doesn't believe in corporal punishment. But one time, she told Melanie, Melanie's stubborn and boy and opinionated, and you don't tell her she can't do anything. That's the very thing she wants to do, which is typical of a spoiled brat, of course. So she said, I'm going outside, Melanie. Now, don't you dare do something on the couch. Don't do that. Put something on it, you know, mess it up. I had just done it over. She did that very thing. Mm-hmm. So when Carol came back in, she spanked her. She says, now I'm spanking you because you did it on purpose. You deliberately did what I asked you not to, so I'm having to punish you. And she wrote me about it, says, I know you'd be happy. Melanie got her first spanking. And she said, from then on, Melanie would run in the, Mama, she just thought it was great she'd had a spanking. Mama, spank me quick. It was on purpose, I did it on purpose. Spank me quick. So sometimes children beg. They really do.
I think they do.
And it clears the air. And
well, there's a situation that people get into, and kids get into, where they get all pent up and don't know how to release it. And mm-hmm. the only thing they do is go get somebody to punish them. Mm-hmm. When grown-ups do it, that's big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they go out and they get in fights, mm-hmm. and they get in trouble, and all kinds of things.
That's right.
But kids do that, too. And one thing I wonder is, how do you make sure they grow out of it? I don't know.
I'm going to go tell you, if you bring up children to get to be adults, it's a miracle. It's a miracle they don't get killed in the first place with the things going on in the world like it is now. But whatever you teach them, that, you know, the old saying is, if you teach them right and bring them up in the ways of the Lord and the church and this, that, and the other, that they will always return to that. Well, there's some truth in all those old sayings. But my children were not subjected to the times that children are now. And that hadn't been all that long ago. The world now, with all this crack and all this mess going on, I mean, and children like to conform. They want to be a member of the group, as I pointed out. If you don't take any, you're a chicken. I mean, you know, and I'll take a little bit, and that's be all there was to it. So it's not what you do. You can teach them all you want to at home. They gonna do what their contemporaries are doing. If there's any way to, they gonna have to be mighty strong not to. I'm just glad that I don't have one that I got to worry about.
Well, then, you know, you just have to make sure that their choice of friends.
Right, you got to know what their friends are doing. Now, little Zach is 14. My son, of course, is a practicing lawyer. He knows the seamy side of life because that's how he makes a living. He knows every trick there is about dope and how that, he knows the whole story. But he's not a bit worried about little Zach, he says. I said, well, I am. I worry about him. He's in a private school over there in Camilla, Georgia. It's just a small town, not too much larger than Carwood, but they've got a very good, prestigious, very expensive private school that little Zach goes to. That's right. Westwood, I think it is. They happen to have a very good principal, superintendent of the school. And that Peter Zach knows him personally, and he used to be over there at Deerfield, this private school up there in Albany. And my son said that the safest place he can have his son is over there playing football, baseball, basketball, you name it. He's very athletic and very conscious of his body, you know, big butch. Mm-hmm. And that this principal, I said, how do you know in these small schools with money, and there's money there that wouldn't be in that school, that there's not some crack going around? He said, well, all I got to say is that principal will find out about it. He keeps his ear to the ground, and he knows that his job depends on not having any dope run around in that private school, because those parents would ask him right away and said, I'm sure them it must be over there. But said, so far, little Zach's got some neighborhood friends. He's got a upstairs, like a, that this woman that Ada, of the Zach Jr. married, had five boys and one daughter. Boys, it's like a dormitory up there with bunk beds and all the private bath. You have to almost climb a ladder to get up there. But anyway, these little boys, little Zach's always had to have boys company. Now Garrett, Ada's child, was a loner. He didn't care about he was impatient with it. He never went through the silly age. But little Zach loves company. He's going to have some children around him, boys. So they make him the welcome. His daddy's bought him a thing to put on the TV. They can show movies up there. He's got his private telephone. I mean, all the comforts of home upstairs in the attic. And so naturally, all the little boys, especially in the neighborhood, but see, they are screened as not riffraff that he's associating with. Most of them, they go to this private school, and they're all of kind of the same thing, and they get up there and talk to the little girls over the telephone and do all the normal things. So Zach Jr. knows where that boy is 24 hours a day.